Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Good evening. Come on, young people, good evening. I heard you just came back from camp. Did you like Joseph Chen? Don't tell him I said this, okay? But did you know that he is my half-brother? I'm the better half, okay? I'm kidding. Joseph and I are very, very good friends. We know each other well. I brought some friends with me from Indonesia, or at least serving in Indonesia. They're missionaries. And I'll introduce them one at a time as they come up. I'd like to begin by reading the scripture to you. It's in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. The scripture says, "And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them?" And I was so encouraged to hear that as part of your camp, you went out and tell people about Jesus. We are a team from Bali. We are called University of the Nations with YWAM. And we have a story to tell you. And this story is a story of God working in the lives of peoples through His people. And I want to begin with them by sharing with you my story. I'm a Singaporean. I left Singapore when I was 24 years old. And I met a bunch of missionaries in the Pacific Islands. And when I was there with them for a very short time, God spoke to me and said, "Stay here for 7 years." And so after wrestling and struggling with God, I eventually stayed for 7 years on this island as a missionary with them called Youth with a Mission. And towards the end of the 7 years, the Lord spoke to me about Singapore. And He said, "Singapore is at a place of crossroads. I have blessed this nation for myself so that Singapore can go and be a blessing." And I felt the Lord said, "Now is the time. Go back and call Singaporeans out into mission." So after 7 years, my wife and I came back to Singapore. And then together with many, many churches, we worked together to call, to train, and to send Singaporeans into world mission. That was how I met our former senior pastor, Pastor Derek Hong. And through my friendship with him, Church of Our Savior became my family church. So you may not know this, but this is my church. I've been with this church for 26 years. So I'm an old man, you know. I'm 60 years old this year. When I was in Singapore with YWAM training and sending missionaries out, I was at the Singapore River one day. It was a day of prayer for our nation. And I was standing at this place where Sir Stamford Raffles landed. And so while I was standing there praying for Singapore, I felt the Lord speak to me 3 words, and I want you to remember these 3 words, okay? Refresh, replenish, release. And when I heard those 3 words, I believe God was speaking to me about the redemptive gift of our nation, Singapore. That we are to be a people that would refresh others through our kindness and the generosity of our hearts, just like what you did going out. Refreshing others through your kindness and your generosity of hearts. We are to be a people that would replenish them, resupply them through our gifts and our resources, to be a generous people. And we are to be a people that would release them, even as God has put them to our responsibility, to release them to their callings and their destinies in God through many of our avenues, and many of our relationships. And as we do this, refresh, replenish, and release others, God will be our refresher. He'll always be our faithful replenisher of our supplies and our needs. And He will be our releaser. In 1998, 1999, how many of you were still born then? 1998, 1999, very few of you. Asia went through a crisis called the Asian crisis. I started getting involved in Indonesia during this time because Indonesia was in big trouble. They were so, so poor. And Singapore was doing a food distribution to help Indonesia. And Church of Our Savior was the anchor church to help us in the whole program. So I started going back and forth to Indonesia for a whole year doing this food distribution. I got involved in that nation. And then after a while, the Lord spoke to my wife. And then she spoke to me. And she said, Alan, if you really want to help Indonesia, we have to live among them. We have to walk alongside them. She said, I'm ready to go. I'm just waiting for you, because she knows I wasn't ready to go. I was too comfortable in Singapore. I like Singapore too much. I did not like Indonesia very much. I like them now, but not at the time, because things don't work, and I didn't like the challenges living there. And so I had many good reasons. One day, while I was flying, God spoke to me about Indonesia, and He said, I love these people, and I love this nation, and I have a wonderful plan for their lives. And they, Indonesia, can do the work I've called them to do. They just need a little bit of help. And the Lord said, are you willing to help them? So after some repentance and everything else, my family, we moved to Indonesia in the year 2003. And shortly after that, we moved to this island called Bali. And you may know where Bali is. And when we were in Bali, God began to speak to us about why we were there. He said, create an incubator so that it can be a multiplier for my mission. So together with a few people, you'll meet some people later, Andre and Niresh are some of those. They, together with Susie and I and two more people, we started the work in Bali. We called it the University of the Nations. I will tell you more about it in a minute. Or we use the term U of N Bali for University of the Nations. We started the training. We started training programs. We started ministries. And for me, it was the beginning of a journey as a Singaporean walking into our destiny to refresh, to replenish, and to release our neighbors, Indonesia, to the calling of God upon their lives to be missionaries. I'm going to show you a video clip. It's a very short video clip, 1 hour, 1 minute, 45 seconds. And the video clip is just to give you a big picture about God being on the move in Indonesia.
God is on the move amongst the people of Indonesia. A people created beautiful and diverse, gifted with rich cultures spanning across thousands of Emerald Islands. Through the centuries, the gospel has taken root in many parts of the archipelago, yet hundreds of people groups still live in darkness and poverty. How can they hear unless someone tells them? And how can they tell unless they are sent? U of N Bali was birthed out of a vision to be a sending home for Indonesians and internationals to go. We are nurtured in our relationship with God, challenged to grow in character and develop ministry together. We go to prisoners to sit with them and tell them of the truth that sets them free. We go to our friends at the traffic light and tell them that they are God's children. We go into the slums to give children access to education. And we go to the darkest streets so that we can embrace the lost with the hope of Jesus. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Join us in fulfilling the Great Commission as we partner with God, raising up this generation to go.
You and I, our lives are the living gospel. Your lives and my life tell the story of God. You're about to hear six very short stories. They're about God being on the move. Our purpose in sharing with you this evening is so that you can join us in this journey. Can Indonesians be God's missionaries to the nations? This is Andre. Andre is our leader of our work in Bali. He's Indonesian, and he wants to tell us a story about how the first YWAM missionary from Indonesia went to another country. Andre?
Thank you, Alan. Hello, everyone. Good evening. So I want to tell a story about an Indonesian young girl. When I led a DTS in 2008, DTS is Discipleship Training School. It's one of our training in YWAM that we run. In Singapore, it's like BMT. So this girl, Ruth, came and joined our DTS. And one of our target location for outreach is East Timor. And Ruth joined a team that we sent to East Timor as the outreach location. And the team is the first team that we able to send. Before, we never sent a team to East Timor. So Ruth and the team went to East Timor. During the intercession time that they prayed together, Ruth felt she heard from the Lord about reconciliation ministry. So she shared to the team, to the rest of the team, and the team pray over what Ruth got, and then they agree, yes, this is what the Lord want them to do as the main ministry in East Timor. 6 years before 2008, it was Independence Day for East Timor as a country from Indonesia. And it was a hard time. It was a difficult time for East Timor as a country. And so when they went to the marketplace, they start to sing a song. They start to worship the Lord in the marketplace. And Ruth start to stand and share about God's love, about God's heart. And she began to ask forgiveness for what the brothers, Indonesian, did 6 years ago. And all together with the teams, they kneel down and asking forgiveness. They humble themselves. That time, when they asking forgiveness, the presence of the Lord just came to that place and began to ministering to the people, not just to the East Timorese, but also to the Indonesian and the team. And God started to ministering to the people's heart. They start to cry, they wept, and they broke their heart. That time is a significant time. It is a time of breakthrough, of reconciliation, restoration between Indonesian and East Timor. It just start by the obedience of a young girl named Ruth. And when they finished the outreach, they went back to Bali. In Bali, Ruth felt that God spoke to her about went back to East Timor, this time as a long-term missionaries. So when she shared to us, when she shared to me, I felt like, is it possible? Is it can? Because in my mind, we've been a receiving nation, and we think it is impossible to be a sending nation. We had a lot of unreached people group in Indonesia. So we think, God, Are you sure you want us to send her? But God spoke to my heart. God convicted my heart. I have to repent and ask, Lord, there's nothing impossible with you. So we preparing Ruth and we send her back to East Timor. Ruth's story is not the end of the story. The result of Ruth's story, we've been able to send a team around to about 13 countries, 13 nations, Japan, Nepal, India, Cambodia, many other countries. And we believe God have a purpose, have a calling for Indonesia, as God have a purpose and calling for Singaporean. That's the story of Ruth. Thank you. God bless you.
Andine is a Balinese. She came from a strictly Hindu family background. She's very close to my wife Susie and I. She's like our Balinese daughter. This is a story of God's incredible love and transformation.
Hello, good evening, guys. It's a privilege to be here with all of you. I would like to share how I found God, how I discovered who I am in my life. As Alan mentioned before, I am from Bali. My name is Andine. I come from a very strict religious Balinese family. And my father was a temple priest and was a healer too. And I was diligent to go to temple. I wonder who God is, and I want to know who I am. And so I learned the religion, the goddesses, the spirit, and the life after that. But none of them tell me about who God is, salvation, and about who I am. One day I was visited by a young girl, which later I knew as a YWAM missionary. She told me about Jesus, but I thought Jesus just for just Christian God. Later on, because of some reasons, I had to stay with a Christian family. And I learned about Jesus from them. But also because of challenges, I left this family and I stay on my own on the first college. And with a little bit knowledge about God, I believe that Jesus is a good God, so He will protect me out there while I'm trying to live on my own way. But because I was not equipped well to live in a big city, my poor decision ended me up homeless for 2 months, jobless and abused. So I thought on that time that Jesus is a good God, but why he does not help me or protect me? So I promised myself that time that I want to forget everything about Jesus. But few months later, after that, I was very sick and abused for the second time. And I was tempted to kill myself. And I heard a soft voice saying to me, "My child, go back home. You have a father." And then I was, I pray for the first time since I rejected God. And I pray, "God, if you are truly God, please heal me. Then I'll go back home and I'll follow you." And then I was healed, but was not fully healed, was able to go home. And I was suggested by a YWAM leader and sent me to discipleship training school. I discover who God is, the God who I had been looking for. I was restored, my self-image was restored, and I found who I am. I was accepted, and I loved by God. And then, afterward, I was given a privilege to join in YWAM Bali. And I even discover more that God is not just a good father, but also all powerful in molding the broken past into a beautiful future. And then while I joined in Yuwan Bali, God told me what He had in His heart about my future. He said, "Andin, I wanted you to be to help young people with their psychological development." So through a generous Singaporean couple, I able to graduate from guidance and counseling program, and now I'm taking master in psychological and counseling psychology in De La Salle University, Philippines. And after I graduated later, I will go back to Bali and I will serve young people. I will serve young people from Indonesia. That's my short story. May it bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Andin. We have a Methodist pastor. We call him the runaway Methodist. He's a Methodist pastor and a university lecturer. This is Leo. Leo is from Sumatra in Indonesia. And sometimes when you are successful and you think you're fine, but then you find out that God has other plans for you. This is Leo's story.
Hi, guys. I want to share about my personal testimony, how God brought me into mission field. Story about from following my way to following His way. In 2010, I completed my master degree in theological seminary. I am on the road to be a pastor and lecturer in theological seminary. It's a great life. The church provides me all things that I need. I have power, position, and podium. But God called me to be missionary. At that time, I ignored that call because I like that I have. But again, God called me. Leo, leave your ministry, leave your seminary, leave your doctoral study, and be my missionary. I felt strongly it's from God, and I obeyed God. Actually, my family, my wife-to-be, disagree with my decision to be missionary. And I have no idea how missionary go to be like. I just surrender and obeying God. I began by teaching children through music. Through music, I discipled the children. In 2012, God spoke to my wife and I about joining YWAM to do DTS, Discipleship Training School. Where we did DTS, we was 7 months married, and my wife was 7 months pregnant. It's a lot of process. For me, especially for me. Outwardly, I look good and look success and look spiritually. But inside, I'm broken, sinful, lot of pride, arrogance, many issues. But praise the Lord, God fixed me. And God began show us how missionary to be like. Beginning with a soccer coach. And I said to God, a soccer coach? Coaching the children? What I'm doing here? I'm a pastor, I'm a lecturer. But again and again, God broke my heart and challenged me. And when we began to obey and surrender to God, God saw us how many people changed through our ministry. It's a small incident. The fathers come to me and told me, his son taught him to do 10 push-up because he spoke bad word in his house. And his son said to his father, "Dad, you speak bad word. You need to do 10 push-up because in my soccer school, if we speak bad words, we need to do 10 push-up because we need to respect one another. So that you need to do 10 push-up." But After that, I asked the fathers, so, how? Are you willing to keep bring him to attend to soccer school? He said, yes, because through my children, my life changed. This I believe. If we obey and surrender to God, our life changes and will change other people's life. Thank you. God bless you.
How can they hear unless someone tells them? This is a constant cry on the heart of God. Niraj is from India. He's married to an Indonesian. He's got a beautiful little Indonesian boy. And Niraj is going to tell us a story of the first Balinese believer in a Balinese community.
Good evening, church. It's wonderful to be with you this evening. You know, I'm here to share with you a small story about a believer, the first believer in a small island. As you know, we all come from Bali, and nearby Bali there is another small island which has a population of about 5,000 people. We were there in that island about a year ago, and we came across a man. He was an elderly man. He has about 8 children, 12 grandchildren, and even 2 great-grandchildren. He's a chief of a big family. Then we had an opportunity to talk with him. So I asked him, sir, have you heard the name Jesus before? And he said, no, I haven't. We took some time and we shared the gospel with him for a few minutes. And then he said a prayer inviting Jesus into his heart. Even as he did that, he felt goosebumps all over his body, and he would even say, I feel as if the hair on my head is standing straight up. He had a wonderful experience with the Holy Spirit. So at the same stretch, we explained to him about the meaning of baptism, and we said, sir, do you want to be baptized? He said, yes. And he put us in his canoe. It was a mangrove area, and he took us to a place of clear water and said, shall we do it here? And we baptized him there on the same day. Then the next day, we were all getting ready to come back to the main island, and I was beginning to feel tension, because here is a man who started believing in the Lord, and now we have to come back to that island and do the ministry continually there. And then the Lord started to speak to me, and the Lord said, this is what the Holy Spirit told me. He said, Niraj, I am your senior partner. You are my junior partner. I have more responsibility than you. When God spoke to me that, all my tensions died down. We came back to the main island. Then again, after about 3 days, we felt like going and seeing him again. We want to give him an audio Bible because this man cannot read or write. We went back again to this island. We met him. Sir, we asked him, sir, how have you been doing? He told us a story. It's very interesting. He told us, on that night after I was baptized, after you guys left, a man came to my room and he hugged me. I asked a lot of questions to this man. Even I was being embraced by him. But this man wouldn't say a word to me. He kept quiet. And then I began to laugh, because I myself am an old man, 60 plus years. I was being made like a little child in that embrace. When he narrated his experience to us, we could see so much of peace and joy coming out of this man. You know, one day, even as I was thinking about this, suddenly the Lord spoke to me and said, Niraj, I have been waiting for him for 60 years. When God spoke to me that, my heart really moved. Dear friends, God has been waiting for the souls to be saved. It has been a long wait. And now, in the same island where we started this work with this man, we have about 3 small groups of believers now. And we also see God working among them, and we are seeing more people coming to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Niresh. In Singapore, do we say soccer or football? Both. Well, can soccer or can football and the good news go together? Nando is from Brazil. He's got a little bit of a colorful background. Guns, drugs, soccer, and coaching. Nando's going to tell you a story of how through soccer and coaching he reaches families.
Good evening, friends. Pleasure to be here with you guys. Very happy to see the church very full of young people. Yeah, soccer ministry is just a bridge between God and people. In our soccer ministry there, we have 150 children from 8 to 18 years old. Usually, yeah, every time we start our practice, soccer practice, we start praying. And one day, we open for prayer requests for the players. And one player, his name is Agus, he asked prayer for his mom, Ibu Agus. She had cancer in her leg. We start to visit Ibu Wayan. And we saw she had a lot of pain, but the disease is not only in her body, but in her family too. They have a lot of conflicts. They are blaming one another. They have a very difficult situation in the family. We start to visit them and to help Ibu Wayan with her bandage in her leg. And through that situation, we start to share Bible stories. We bring people, friends, to serve her too. We start to sing songs, help her with the conflict of the families. God start to move her heart. She asked us one question. She said, "How can I be saved? How can I go to heaven?" she asked. We explain again. We say for her that Jesus make the way for her to go to heaven. She repents. She received Jesus. She fixed her family situation. It was amazing. Long time, her husband and her daughter didn't enter in her room because they afraid of God. They afraid of the curse of demons and these things. They didn't enter in their room. And they have a nice meal. They enter in their room and they have a nice meal together as family. It was amazing restoration in their family. We didn't know, but God was preparing Ibu Ayan to live with him forever. She passed away. We thought about healing, but God had another plan. After that, her husband, Bapa Made, he asked the leader of the village, because he was moved by gratitude, like how he saw the restoration of the family. He asked of the leader of the village if we as Christian could pray for his family in the Hindu funeral of Ibu Ayan. And they said yes. We went to the funeral with so many people. I confess, I was a little bit scary, thinking maybe he don't call us. But he invite us to pray for his family. And we said, can we just say some words before we pray? And we remember she really liked a song. The song, the her favorite song, Ibuayan song, said, God is with us in all the seasons of our life. We sing that song, we sang that song, and the presence of God came to the place and really comforting her family. And we saw like how God working in amazing ways. This is Ibuayan is an example how God can use soccer ministry to reach children, family, and the communities. Thank you so much, yeah, for the opportunity.
Sometimes reaching nations can be right where you're at. This is Chris. Chris is Nando's beautiful wife from Brazil. And Nando's agrees. And Chris reaches to the nations in the prisons of Bali that is ripe for God's harvest.
Good evening. It's very good to be here with you. This is Rivombo. I want to tell her story to you tonight. Rivombo is from Nigeria. I met her in February 2012. Some people asked me if I could visit Rivombo in the prison. They said she had a mental problems. So I went to see Rivombo, and it was a very stress visit. She was trying to run away. She was stressed. So I could not do a lot. So I just prayed and went home. Few days later, I heard they transferred Rivombo to a mental hospital. So our team went to see her. So it was a very sad scenario. She was locked in a small room and you just could see her eyes. So we prayed for Rivombo and we went home. We are silent. So in my mind, I was thinking, who can help Rivombo? I thought, she's poor, prisoner, and foreigner. Who can help her? How she can get out from this place? So after a few days, I heard she was back to the prison again. So I went to see Rivombo. I was, I confess to you, I was a little bit afraid of visit her for my first experience. So I take courage, I went to see her, and she was very beautiful, well-dressed, smiling. We hug each other, and I say, Rivombo, how did you get out from the hospital? What happened? She said, Chris, when you guys went to see us there, after you guys prayed and went home, I heard the scripture in my mind. The scripture said, I lift my eyes to the hill. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the creator of heaven and the earth. So I believe it. Then my faith was built. So the next day the doctor came to see me. Then he said, Rivombo, you are fine. You can go back to the prison, Kerobokan. So they transferred her back to Kerobokan. So this was the story she told me. But the scripture God gave to her was the answers of my question. Who can help her? And it was God in himself. So since this day, we became a friend. So I started to visit her weekly, and we became a friend. So we start to learn the Bible together. I connect her with her family back in Nigeria. We have a deep conversation, discipleship. So I was appointed her to Christ. So finally, the great day arrives. So Rivombo, that picture we showed to you wasn't in Kerobokan, but was in the immigration detention center. The last 8th of May, she was released. And she's convicted now that Jesus never forsaken her. She can trust in him. Also, she has a desire to live with him for all her life. So she's back to Nigeria, dreaming that she wants to lead her people to Christ. So Ivonne's stories tell God's stories in many people's life, from many nations in Kerobokan. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Kerobokan is the name of the prison, a very famous prison in Bali that Grace and her team works in. The stories that you have just heard are just a tip of the iceberg. God is on the move in Indonesia. He's pushing Indonesia beyond a tipping point. Like Singapore, Indonesia is called to go and make a difference. We are building a missions university in Bali. We call it University of the Nations, or U of N. It is to train, to equip, and to send missionaries to Indonesia and to the nations. U of N Bali is affiliated with YWAM's International University in 600 locations across 100 nations. Students can continue in their missions training to any of these places. We started with 6 in Bali. Today, we are a family of about 100 people, of staff, students, teams, and volunteers. We must keep growing so that we can keep going throughout Indonesia and to the nations. Three years ago, the Lord said, now is the time, buy land, build a mission university, sink your roots, because you are going to spread out to the left and to the right. And He said, I will send you help. Call them. We began this building project with a specific prayer. We said, Lord, show us the land you have for us, and confirm it in the way that we know is from you. So I want to tell you the story about how we got the land. We have not built the buildings yet, okay? That's just a drawing. For 3 years, we searched. We saw many plots of land, but we had no money. We only had prayers. So we prayed. Towards the end of last year, we saw about one million Singapore dollars released for us to buy the land. At the same time, we found a piece of land within our budget. The owner of this piece of land was the former director of the Land and Permits Division of Bali. He's a religious Hindu man. In a conversation with him about buying the land, he said, I had a dream, or I had an experience last night. He said, some spirit, we do not know who, okay? But some spirit spoke to me and said to me, when these people tomorrow morning come to your office and want to buy your land, you are to sell them your land and sell it to them cheaper. So we thought, wow, God works through all kinds of spirits, right? We have a Balinese friend. His name is Wayan. He's a pastor, a businessman, and a land negotiator. Wayan has been like a guide on the side, a very faithful friend to us. Wayan wisely negotiated the purchase of this land, including he helped us lease another piece connected to this land for 20 years. And then he met up with the community where the land is around so that the community will receive us. And then Wayan brought his friend, Johannes, a builder, to us. And Johannes had to go see the land, whether it's a good piece or not. We brought Johannes to the land. He got out of the car and he started laughing. He was actually with Leo. And we said, why are you laughing? He said, it's a good piece of land. We said, how do you know? He said, well, 2 years ago, I checked out this land. I tried to buy it. I just didn't get it. It's a good piece of land. So Wayan and Johannes then brought their friend, a third friend. His name is Jimmy. He's an architect. Jimmy has three daughters. His oldest daughter did a discipleship training school with us. His second daughter did a discipleship training school, a YWAM school, in another city in Indonesia called Surabaya. And his third youngest daughter, 16 years old, because her two sisters had gone to YWAM, said, I cannot wait to join YWAM and do a DTS. And so Jimmy told us, my daughters love YWAM so much. No choice, la. So he's going to help us. So I took him to the land, and he got out of his car, and he said, Alan, can't believe this. You see the project there behind the land? He said, I'm doing that project. I'm here. I might as well help you. So we saw, from the circumstances leading to the acquiring of this piece of land, that it was God's choice. We said to the Lord, show us the land without a shadow of a doubt. And we knew this is God's choice and this is His project. He also sent us some Indonesians, Wayan, Jimmy and Johannes. And we call them our three wise men. U of N Bali, or University of Nations Bali, is to train up to 150 potential missionaries a year. And we have three objectives. The first one, he says, is to establish a vibrant, Christ-centered incubator. You know an incubator? Where you hatch eggs? But this is a missionary incubator. Hatch missionaries. To be a vibrant, Christ-centered incubator, so that it can be a multiplier for mission, beginning in Bali and then in many, many more parts of Indonesia, so that Indonesians can go with others. Number two, to reach the remaining unreached people groups of Indonesia. You may not know this, but Indonesia has 248 unreached people groups who have yet to hear the name of Jesus, who do not know the gospel. And we want to begin with the seven unreached people groups closest to Bali. We call it Project 777, to reach seven unreached people groups in the next 7 years with seven teams, including Singaporeans joining us, young ones. And number three, third objective, to eventually see Indonesians, missionaries, go to all nations, and many of them converging to the nations of Central Asia, the North Pacific, and the Middle East, where it is a main Islamic bloc. We now have the land. We are beginning work on the foundations. And I know that you are young people. Many of you got no money, but I'm just going to tell you how much it costs for this to build. It will cost us about $2.5 million. And we need to complete this project by the end of 2017, the end of next year. Because at the end of next year, all our leases expire. So it's a tight time frame. If you come, you might find us camping for a while. But God is the God of the impossible. And He can do all things as we keep hearing and obeying Him. Yes? We are here because we believe that the Lord said, I will send you help. Call them. So we are calling you young people to help us build this missions university, so that together with Indonesians we may go. And there are different ways that you can be involved. One day, the Lord said to me, Alan, if you see what I see, you will love what I love, and you will do what I do. See, love, and do. It was a dark night in Bali, and the sky was studded with stars. I'm telling you a true story. I looked up into the sky, and I heard God speak to me. And this is what He said. These stars are like the lives of Indonesians, Christians, sprinkled across a dark world, lighting up the skies of the Middle East, North Africa, and Central Asia. I have called Indonesians for such a task as this. Will you help them? These are some of the ways that you can be involved with. And I'll tell you how some Singaporeans have been involved with. There is a very wealthy businessman who was going to buy a luxury car for himself. And when he heard about the University of the Nations project, he decided not to buy his luxury car, and instead he put in money to help us buy the land. A Singapore Armed Forces colonel brought his three very young but very talented daughters to Bali. They were 3, 5, and 7 years old, to draw and to paint for slum children. And they were about to go home. The girls said to the dad, "Dad, this is the best holiday we've been to," because they go for a holiday every year. They said, "Next year, we want to come back to Bali for a holiday." University students, how many of you are in uni or college? University students from Singapore and other places help Nando conduct soccer clinics in the beaches and in the fields. Young married couples partners with young married YWAM missionaries with financial support so that they can keep going. A newly wed wife gives up her US bought wedding dress so that a young YWAM Indonesian missionary girl may get married. That girl who gave the wedding dress is from this church. There's a man, his name is Lauren Cunningham. He's the founder of our mission. And this is what he said. Get involved into missions. Get involved with missions. You will be spoiled for the ordinary. I'd like to close now with a prayer. And I want to invite you to pray two prayers. The first one, would you pray? Ask God, "Lord, do you want me to be involved? Do you want me to be involved?" Second prayer, if so, how? Whether it be to going, giving, whatever the Lord would say. Would you take a few minutes and just close your eyes and ask the Lord those two questions? Do you want me to be involved? If so, how? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God who speaks. So I ask you now to speak. For some of them, their involvement may not be now, but maybe much later. But speak, Lord. And I pray for you that your heart will be open to hear and that you'll have courage in God to hear and to obey what He would say to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to ask my team to come on up here. Can you just come on up quickly? I'm just going to have them stand in front of you. The Bible says, or Jesus says, the harvest is ripe and plentiful, but the workers are few. There's few among us. Will you help us with the mission of God? Thank you.